This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. I'd like to wish you all happy recovery month, the last day. Hopefully, most of you were involved in recovery activities. Last week, our guests from the DEA encouraged us all to have proper disposal and storage of our prescription medications. Please keep in touch with the DEA website for announcements regarding major pharmacies and hospitals being able to also take back medications. That's going to be a longer process, so we hope you all took advantage of the Take Back Day that was held last Saturday. I am very pleased to welcome my guest today. Joni S. is not only a good friend, but also a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she has agreed to talk to us today about a very important part of the 12-step tradition, which is that of sponsorship. I'm sure many of our listeners are not familiar with that term, and if they are, they're not familiar with what it means and the role that that plays in recovery. When I was doing a little research, the first time I could find a lot written about sponsorship was in 1944. Clarence S. Wrote a pamphlet about AA sponsorship, its obligations and responsibilities, and it was printed by the Cleveland Central Committee under the title AA Sponsorship. So I'm real excited to talk about this topic because I think it's one that is often misunderstood. Welcome, Joni. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it very much.
What is a sponsor?
What is a sponsor? Well, I guess you kind of have to go back to the beginning when our founders wrote the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In Chapter 7, if I may, of the big book, Working with Others, it says, practical experience shows that nothing so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics. You can help where no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up around you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss, and we know you will not want to miss it. It is absolutely critical. It was critical for me in the beginning of my recovery, Susan, to find somebody that mm-hmm. I trusted that could carry that message, the 12-step message to me, and take me step by step through. I was a very sick lady when I came around. I was absolutely baffled by this illness. And to find somebody that could actually help me in identifying with me mm-hmm. What their experience was exactly what Bill and Bob did back in the early days. They spoke one alcoholic. They came up with this whole notion of one alcoholic helping the other. And it is still very much true today. I'm grateful that I have a wonderful sponsor today, and that I am able to carry on, to pass that message on to others.
So the idea of having a sponsor occurs early in the recovery process. This isn't something that you wait until you've completed the 12 steps. This is something that you, as a new beginner in recovery, need to be aware of mm-hmm. a sponsor mm-hmm. and need to know how to find one. Mm-hmm. So in your particular case, you were able to meet another person. Mm-hmm. Was she newly in recovery too?
No, she wasn't. She had many years of recovery when I was very, very lucky to find her. I went into a treatment center. I was there for about 3 weeks, and I was encouraged there to join Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first thing, the things that they told me were to find a sponsor, or find a group, get a sponsor, and get active. Finding a group wasn't hard. Getting active wasn't hard. But finding a sponsor, I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know. I had relied so much on myself. And that was part of my illness, is why I got as sick as I did. But when I plucked up the courage to ask this woman to sponsor me, she just absolutely said emphatically yes, and we immediately started working the steps, and that's when my recovery really took off. My understanding of the illness of alcoholism, and of the importance of the 12-step program.
So this person who became your sponsor had experience.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the things that's really important to understand is this isn't two newbies coming together to try and figure out what to do next.
No.
A sponsor is someone who has had experience in the program as well as some years of their own recovery.
Yes, working with a sponsor as well. She works with the sponsor, and then she sponsors me, and so on and so forth. That's how it progresses. That's how it works, really. In the big book, it tells us how it works, and this is how it works. It's one alcoholic working with another. And she, like at this point in time, she is about 27 years sober.
Wow.
And her sponsor is over 40 years sponsor. So I'm a very lucky woman. And any woman that I work with is a very lucky woman, because I bring all of these years of experience to the table when I sponsor myself. So
a sponsor meets you at meetings.
Mm-hmm.
What else might a sponsor do?
Well, initially what happened for me was, I sat there and I listened. And I listened to, all the different people share. And, of course, I was encouraged to not just listen to the men, of course, which I did, but to listen to the women and to see who I could identify with, who had a story. Did I want what they had? And I remember when I first heard my sponsor share, I used to go, oh, my God, I want what she has. She is just so, like, she just really impressed me. And she was talking about real-life experiences and how she was, how she was getting through those sometimes tough times with the help of her sponsor and working the program, the 12-step program. And I was a little bit nervous because I like to do things my way, and I kind of love to be in control the whole bit, and not used to depending on somebody else. But I did pluck up the courage, and I asked her, and immediately we just sat down. We started right at step one. She really wanted to understand. She really wanted to get a feel of that first step and how I identified with it, and how I accepted my powerlessness. It's very important. That first step is very important for any of us to realize that we are powerless, and it's giving us ultimate surrender to the program. And then we did those first three steps, and then of course we did a critical. I did a critical fourth step, and she did that fifth step with me. So she made it really quite painless because she shared a lot of her own experience, like not necessarily stuff that she shared in meetings,
right?
But from her beginnings and how she felt when she first came around, and the nervousness and the bewilderment and the confusion that we all have when we first come into recovery.
So it's not so much just that through working through the steps, and we've talked on this program before about what the different steps are and how they might be approached. So, but it's that sharing of the experience so that you understand you're not alone, mm-hmm. that someone else has struggled, mm-hmm. and that this is what's helped them.
Yes, absolutely. And my experience wasn't necessarily unique. At first I thought there isn't anybody. You couldn't possibly understand me. You haven't lived my life. But it was so amazing because when she shared some stuff, I thought, wow, I'm actually doing pretty good here.
This story isn't so bad.
No, my story's not so bad. But because we do come in with all of that with us, you know, we just think we're so beaten down, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, we just baffled by what has happened to us and how could we possibly have gotten into this state. And then we sit down and we talk to somebody one-on-one. It's not just in a room of us all sharing, which is a wonderful experience.
Right.
But that one-on-one with another woman who has walked through the first, you know, not just her experience of how she got there, but what mm-hmm. she has done now, like how she's walked through. And she actually had a few sponsors before she lighted on the one that she has it now. And the same for me. Initially, in the beginning for me, I had, you know, I had approached a couple of women, and they were amazing. They were wonderful. But circumstances, you know, would just, like, either they moved away or our schedules didn't quite gel. We have to remember that we are just women. We're just people just trying to stay sober one day at a time. And everybody has families and work obligations and all of that kind of stuff. So it's not always necessarily right off the bat you meet that right person. Maybe it takes a few.
Yeah. So is it okay if you find over the first few weeks or months of working with a sponsor, you find that either your schedules don't match or someone's ill or there's travel, something's interfering, or there's a personality clash. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to change a sponsor, or is it like getting married and you got to stick with them till the bitter end?
No, this isn't carved in granite. Initially in the beginning when you first meet somebody, you've heard something that you like or that you resonates with you. But, you know, just because, schedule changes or somebody moves away, something comes up, and it could be any number of things. I had a lovely sponsor for the first couple of years, but her husband got really ill. And then she became very ill. So she understood that it was critical that I find someone else. And it was, she still is and remains a very good friend and another woman in recovery that I can call and talk to. But she absolutely understood. And if it's a personality conflict, you know what? That's normal. This is everyday life. And
right.
This really is important. It's important for any of us to remember that this is our recovery, and we have to find the right fit for us, and vice versa, because it's just as important that my sponsor she's getting as much out of this as I am. It's that fine balancing act.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how to find and choose a sponsor. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Thanks for listening.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Listen to America's Voice for Energy. I'm Marita Noon, and each week I'll guide our discussion on a fresh, news-based energy topic, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. George. Join me on Wednesday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock when we talk about more than medicine. It's now about staying healthy, but it's about the strategy to do so. Join me on Medicine on Call.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank. Today in studio I have my good friend and a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to say Al-Anon. That's my deal. Joni S., she's here with us today, and we're talking about the importance of a sponsor and what role they play in helping someone, not just through the early stages of recovery, but through the rest of your life. Sponsorship is not a one-time episode, correct?
Yeah, correct. They don't just go through the steps with you and then you're cast
adrift. You're
done. You, as a matter of fact, one of the gifts of having a sponsor is in the beginning, they're there to go through the steps with you and carry the message. And if we're all really lucky, we become friends. At the end of the day, and many years later, I find that my sponsor is a very good friend. However, having said that, she is a friend, but she's my sponsor first, and I need to listen to her. And there have been times when it was critical I really listened to her, through different situations in my life.
So she's not there just to have empathy for you. She's not there just to be your sounding board or listening.
Absolutely not.
She has a role in terms of helping you see yourself and understand your behavior. Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
Well, the thing is when you've gone through the steps with somebody, especially after you've done a thorough fourth inventory and a fifth with her or that person, they know a lot about you. And in a good way, in a really good way. And what happens is you start to develop a relationship with them of trust and a bond, because you know that anything that you've ever said to them, there's absolutely no way. It's between you and that person, and if I may, that sponsor, and if I may say God. That's where it goes. It just stays right there. And also, she kind of knows your little bit of your, well, she gets to know your patterns and kind of your little bit of character defects, some of your defense mechanisms, she knows you. You know, she knows your stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, for example, you have a bit of a stubborn streak, which I have. I know that's hard to believe. No, I do. I have a real stubborn streak, and it's, I recognize it now when it in front of me, you know, because I've worked really hard on my recovery, and she'll call me on it. She'll call me on it or other stuff, you know. She'll call me on it immediately and say, now this is, you know, I hear this coming up again for you, Joni, you know, or something like that. And in a really loving, kind way, she brings my brings it to my attention, and I get to learn. I get to learn about myself, you know, because we think we know everything about ourselves, but we honestly, Susan, we don't. Especially, mm-hmm. And I continue after all this time, still learning stuff about myself. Mm-hmm. That I go, whoa, there's that ugly green dragon again.
Here it comes.
So she's able to really steer me right and sometimes I don't always necessarily like it, because she kind of really knows me, and I go, as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I say, I know exactly what she's going to say. I think I do, but she always surprises me. She always has a lot more insight than I think she has, and she continues to, because she's also one of these women that is continually working on herself as well. Like, she is a work in progress, the same mm-hmm. as I am. And she moved away from our city 4 years ago and had some real challenges moving to a smaller community, and you know, had to really do some work with her sponsor again as well. And mm-hmm. So, you know, we're all, that's, as long as we're there, as long as we understand that this thing doesn't stop, just because we've done the 12 steps once doesn't mean we're not going to go back over and do the work over and over and over again, and learn brand new things about ourselves each time. Yeah.
So your sponsor can observe your interactions, listen to the things that you're telling mm-hmm. her about what's happening in your life, mm-hmm. and through that observation and through the other side of working the steps, you get the freedom and the healing of working the steps. Yeah. The sponsor, it sounds like, gets the insight and the background story yeah. so that when she sees different things occurring in your life again, mm-hmm. she can help you recognize that. Mm-hmm. And as I always tell my patients, to think that you're never going to get your button pushed, or if your goal is that you're never going to be angry or you're never going to be irritable, mm-hmm. that's not realistic. The goal of
yeah.
and the change really yeah. is in recognizing it sooner and getting out of it quicker.
Absolutely. Getting to the solution as quickly as possible. The problem, you know, is where we always got stuck. The problem was what made us, you know, continue to drink, because we didn't know any other way to deal with life. And then suddenly now we don't have alcohol anymore, and we got problems. Like, life's just life, right?
Right.
And it's going to happen to you. Now what do we do? We get into the solution as quickly as possible. If I may tell you just a little brief story. 8 years ago, I got a call from the Toronto City Police, and my daughter had died. She was found in her apartment, and she was a victim of an accident that happened in her apartment. After the Toronto Police left, finally, my apartment and all that, I was like, I was sitting there. I had been in recovery for a number of years at this point, and was sponsoring people myself, women myself. And I was like, I was absolutely shell shocked beyond. And I stayed up all night long, because I just couldn't sleep. My husband was ill. He had just had chemotherapy that day. And so what happened was, I waited. The police had told me to call the morgue first thing in the morning, so because they had taken her, my daughter. And I sat up, and I just was praying all night long, and I was thinking about her and crying. And I still didn't really believe it. I called my sponsor the next morning around 8 o'clock, and I said to her, you're not going to believe it just happened, but Mina, my daughter, is gone. She was gone. She was quite sure. I said, yeah, she was killed last night. She was in an accident. And she said, oh my gosh, we chatted for just a little bit. And she said to me in a very calm voice, Joni, your doctor's office opens in a half an hour, because we both have the same clinic. She said, I want you to put your coat on. This was in January. She said, I want you to put your coat on and cross the street, because literally my doctor was across the street. She said, I want you to go across the street mm-hmm. and see your doctor. You know what? That was at first I kind of went, like, I never would have thought about that. But she was on the money. I literally brushed my teeth. I put my coat on over my pajamas and threw my boots on, and I walked across the street. And I saw Dr. Westlake, my family physician, as she was walking in with her briefcase. And I just collapsed, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was in a safe place. I was with my physician. I was safe there. It was the best thing that happened to me, because what was I going to do at home except sit there and wait until I was able to go and see my daughter at some point, and my husband wasn't well, but he was okay enough at that time that he was actually okay for about an hour while I went across the street, and I took care of myself. And that was one of the things that my sponsor did for me, which I'll never forget it. And she was so right on the money to tell me to do that, because my doctor was able to give me a little bit of a sedative, because I was in shock. She was able to give me a very mild sedative just for one day. And then she said, I want to see you again tomorrow. And another, you know, a sedative just to help me through those first few days of finding out that the tragedy, you know. So she was more than just somebody that took me through the steps. She was that voice of reason when I couldn't think. She was that calm, wonderful, soft place to fall. And I'll never forget that. And there've been instances since then that I've really used her counsel, and she's always been just like that, very, very calm, to the point, and very keeps it really simple for me.
And so, because she knew you so well,
because she knew me so well,
she was able to direct you very clearly and simply to do what she knew you needed to do.
Yeah. And she knew I knew how to take direction, because that was the one thing in the beginning she said. When she started to sponsor me, she said, I'm going to sponsor you because you know how to take direction. And it was really important that I learned to take direction. I did exactly what she told me to do in the beginning. When she asked me to call her every day, to get to a meeting every day, to meet her at least once a week so we could do our step work. I did all of those things. I know how to take direction, or I took direction from her. So she was able to, in the time when it counted back in the very beginning when I was newly sober, but boy, it certainly counted later on when I was many years sober, to listen to her and to do exactly what she said. Because would I have put my coat on and walked across the street to see Dr. Westlake? No, it never would have occurred to me. But it occurred to her. She was so right, because I really needed medical help. I needed to be under a doctor's care right away so that it wouldn't snowball out of control for me, my grief and the reality. When it finally set in, it hadn't set in for a while. It didn't set in for a while. My daughter's death, until I actually saw her, I still believed that it was a mistake, that it really wasn't her. You know. So
but you were prepared.
I was prepared.
And you had that level of support to help you.
Professional support. Not just the loving support of a good sponsor and, of course, my home group and all my friends and family, but I had that professional help, you know, a doctor that knew what was going on with me. And
so as a good sponsor, she also recognized this is her area of experience, and this is when you need professional.
That absolutely knows the difference between what she can handle and what she needs to direct me to.
Excellent. Yeah. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about finding and choosing a sponsor, and we're grateful for Joni being here today. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schurz, as we talk about the topics that doctors talk about amongst themselves, such as Medicare, Obamacare, alternative forms of care, and health information technology. Join us every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings for Medicine on Call and participate in a lively conversation. Learn what's happening behind the headlines in medicine. Understand Obamacare. And learn how to protect yourself and navigate the system.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank, and this is Detailing Addiction. Today we have Joni S., who has been talking with us about her experiences in working with the tradition of sponsorship in a 12-step recovery program. And thank you so much for sharing that story. It certainly touched me, and I'm sure many of our listeners, to see the real life way in which a sponsor can not just help you work the steps, but can save your life and help you stay where you need to be.
And that's exactly how I feel, because, I mean, there's no question that the you know, the fellowship and the program has saved my life, but nurturing and or having these critical people in my life, like a good sponsor, like somebody who is there for you and has that that time and in the program to be able to detach from the emotion in the moment and just be able to guide you. It was critical for me in at that time, particularly for me to have that person with that kind of presence of mind. And to be really honest with you, I don't know, Susan, where I would be today if I had not had that kind of guidance and just strength. You know, just having that strong person. I mean, it was tough for her too. It was. I mean, she knew my daughter. She knew. She knew my husband and how ill he was. She knew what I was going through. But it's important, I think, for us to know that as much as life goes, life happens to us, because we get sober. Thank God, we get sober. We find the program of recovery, and we find a good sponsor, and we find people around us in the fellowship and all that, and we start to have like a life without alcohol. Life still happens to us.
Right.
Stuff still happens to us, and you know, our own personal health. You know, people in our lives, you know, become ill or we lose them. Trouble with jobs. Sometimes things, you know, people lose their homes or lose their jobs. Life still happens to us. It's not just the yellow brick road, you know. Once we step into the program, we have to start, you know, dealing with life on life's terms without AA. We find, or without alcohol, we find the program is what we use now. We have a solution. We have a program of recovery to follow that keeps us standing up straight. Yeah. There have been many times when I've been on, you know, on rocky ground because of stuff that's happened, such as the story I shared. I mean, life has just continued to happen. My wonderful husband passed away 13 months later, and then I was just a couple of years back, I had cancer a few years back, and I had cancer, and I got through that. Like, it's amazing. Like, I can't even imagine what it would have been like had I not had this program and the sponsorship and the fellowship and the support around me that I've had. It's been a God. It's just been just a real blessing. I just can't believe how blessed I am.
And there are a couple of things that I'm struck by as you're sharing these experiences with us. And that's that your sponsor had great confidence that you could handle it, even though for any of us, any one of those things could have rocked to the core and certainly caused, and no one would have faulted you at all. And yet she responded to you in a way that let you know, you can do this. You know, it's not going to be great or fun, but you can do this.
Yes.
And that confidence that and strength that she saw in you to support you through that and to help you find your own strength, I think, is a gift and certainly very important as I'm listening to what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, she'd been through her own life experiences in recovery. She had lost her husband and her adopted mother. And so she could identify with that. She knew exactly what loss was about. She hadn't lost a child. Of course, you know, that's something that's, I mean, we expect our parents to go. Sometimes we even expect our spouses, if they're ill, to go before us, but we certainly don't expect to bury our children. Mm-hmm. But she had not experienced that particularly, but she understood what loss was. And she also understood how important it was that I keep taking care of myself.
Yes.
You know, I had to keep doing the things that I'd done when I was brand new sober. I had to start going to try to get to a meeting every day again. To continue to show up at my own home group and do the service there, and to just sit there. And sometimes I remember sitting there with just nothing, you know, just tears, and wondering, you know, like just being absolutely shattered by it. But I was safe. At least I was safe. And there was something there in that, in knowing that I'm surrounded and that I am not alone and that I am supported and cared about. And the help that came from that was unbelievable. I mean, obviously, you know, my husband's and my good friends were there to help us and support us, and our families were there to help us and support us. But my AA family was there to help us and support us and know that I was taking care of a sick man, and here we am. You know, now I've lost my daughter, so they were there to really help. And they were there. They were anything I wanted. They went shopping for me and all those kinds of things that, you know, might find difficult to do. And, you know, just sort of sitting there dumbfounded most of the time, like, what do I do next, you know? And they were there. They sat. People would come and sit with Brian while I went to a meeting, you know, or come and pick me up and get me home quick, you know, like awesome stuff.
Yeah. And at some point along your journey, you made a decision to become a sponsor yourself. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? How do you know when you're done enough to be able to take on
Whether you're cooked enough, right?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because I was always there to, you know, within a few years of being sober, you know, I was you know, always there shaking hands, and often I would share as I, you know, in meetings, and then I would be approached by somebody, and they would say, you know, I'm looking for a sponsor. And I, you know, I sponsored a few people. But then my husband got sick, you know, and those sponsors, like, they're with you for a period of time, and maybe they may move on, or maybe they may not feel they need you anymore, and that's okay. You just let them go, you pray for them, and say, I'll be here when you come back. But they, my husband got quite ill. And so I had to kind of put a lot of stuff on hold. I did not put my meetings on hold or my service in AA, but certainly, you know, sponsoring, I take the role of sponsoring, I take it very, very seriously. And I'm invested. When I say yes to somebody, I'm invested. So I chose not to sponsor for a while, but interestingly, when Mina passed away, and then my husband Brian passed away 13 months later, I was a pretty sad lady. But I kept going to my meetings, and then I was sharing, and somebody approached me, a woman from one of the treatment facilities approached me and said, I am so scared I'm going to drink again. I know if I don't, all the other times that I've tried to get sober, I didn't really use my sponsor. I didn't really work the steps. I really want you. And I remember saying, and if I may say this, I remember looking at her and saying, well, dear, do you have any idea how sick I am? And I was. I was a pretty sad lady, very, very sad, very depressed, very lonely. But I said, I will give you my answer, but not right now. I went and I talked to my sponsor, and I said, this woman has approached me, and she really wants me to sponsor her. She said, Joni, and if I may, if God has put this woman in your path, there's a reason. But she said, I want to make sure that you know that you not just start with her, but you go through all the steps with her and then see what happens after that. So I said yes. And she was in a treatment facility just down the road from me. And she would, on a Sunday, she was became a member of our group. And on snowy March nights, she would come up that hill and come into my little apartment on Avenue Road, and we would sit with a pot of tea, and we started to work together. And it was absolutely, without question, one of the best things that ever happened to me, that suggestion that my sponsor said. I mean, some people may have said, oh, well, no, maybe you're not emotionally ready, but not my sponsor.
She has great confidence in you.
Definitely constant, but she's very into. She knows what worked for her,
right?
And that's, you know, mm-hmm. And we're kind of cut from the same piece of cloth, in some respects. So I started working with this woman, this young woman, and it was, you know, there were nights still that Wednesday night, my home group meets on Wednesday nights and on Saturday nights, and there was many a Wednesday night when I'd say, oh, I just want to sit here in front of the TV and not move and just be. And then I think, nope, she's expecting me. My sponsee is expecting me, and I need to go. And I would get my butt up off that sofa, and I'd walk down to my home group meeting. And sure enough, I would come out of there feeling a heck of a lot better than I did when I walked in. Mm-hmm. Very grateful that I was there. So it all works. It all works. It all fits together. It's like that young woman helped me as much as I helped her. And sometimes when we first come around, we don't get that right away. I used to think, well, if I call her, wouldn't I be, if I call my sponsor, would I be, interrupting her, or she doesn't want to hear from me, or she doesn't want to be interrupted, or am mm-hmm. I going to be a bother? But we learn very quickly that, at least I certainly did, I can only really speak for myself, that you learn very quickly that you get as much out of it. Like when I work with a sponsee, I'm taken right back to those first few days, first few weeks, first few months, sometimes first few years of my own recovery. And I remember when I felt like that. And mm-hmm. I remember how desperate I was and how grateful I was that somebody just called me dear and put their hand on my hand and said, it's going to be okay, you know. It's really going to be okay. And then when things would happen in our conversations and the penny would drop, the penny mm-hmm. would drop for them, and you go, wow, they got it.
They got it. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what a sponsor is and what a sponsor isn't. Thanks so much for listening.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank. I'd like to thank our guest today, Joni S., who's traveled from the far north to be with us today and talk about the tradition of sponsorship within the 12-step communities. We've talked a lot about your experience both as a sponsee and as a sponsor. And you've mentioned in a number of ways what the role of a sponsor mm-hmm. is. They are to help you work through the 12 mm-hmm. steps. Sometimes they have you call them. Mm-hmm. You meet them at meetings. They help and advise you. Do they help and advise you on all aspects of life?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, my sponsor is very adamant in telling me I'm not your financial advisor and I'm not a relationship counselor here.
I'm not an attorney.
And she's very good at directing me. There's some of the practical things. Is the only real primary responsibility of a sponsor is to carry the 12-step message to the newcomer, to help them feel comfortable, to encourage them to get mm-hmm. active in their own group, and in the beginning with the newcomer, it's just simply sometimes just standing at the door and greeting people, helping them set up a meeting, because these things aren't done magically. We all have to be part of. The reason why the meeting's there in the first place is we show up and we put the chairs out,
right?
You know, make the coffee. We're just there to answer questions about the program. Like sometimes they come up with newcomers come up with questions about like, well, what is your responsibility? What I do is I go easy peasy way, which there's a wonderful a pamphlet. It's, you know, I think it's something like, I forget, it's like 32 questions or something, or 34 questions someone is likely to ask when looking for a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And it's questions and answer. What is a sponsor? What does a sponsor do? And what is her role mm-hmm. or his role in that? And just as I just mentioned, we are just primarily, that's what our job is. And I take that very seriously. I want somebody to really get that initially. Like I am just another alcoholic woman, in recovery. And, it's important for me that this works, this relationship works. Mm-hmm. That it works for you and it works for me, because that's what we need to do. This works for my sponsor as well. Our relationship works for her. Mm-hmm. She has to be able to feel like this is that she's getting something too. Like she needs mm-hmm. to be able to feel that information that she's giving me, and that the working the steps with me is reinforcing her program. It's how we stay sober. It's mm-hmm. really how it works. They teach us how to. Sponsors teach us how to apply the 12 steps mm-hmm. in our life. They are a model of that 12-step recovery. You know, they are that model for us. They are. They lead us and they teach us by example. Some of us come in, and some of my sponsees come in, and you know they've had a really rough go of it.
Yes,
very rough go of it. Even in some cases, been on the street and been in shelters and stuff like that. Some of them come in pretty rough shape. So we're there to teach them just some, mm-hmm. or just by example, to show them how to live. how to live, how to take care of yourself, how to shop, how to manage your money, even, you know, in little ways. Like, I've actually been able to do that with somebody, saying, this is your income, and this, you know, just in a practical way of living. You know, how to shop for yourself. Some women have never had that taught to them. It just practical kind of ways, but nothing to the degree that we're giving them money, or we're, you know, being financial advisors, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff at that capacity, like, you know, or in any way, shape, or form, telling them, you know, if you've got a headache, take an aspirin. You know, I just say, you go and get a really good checkup.
Mm-hmm.
Get a family doctor, get a really good checkup, find out where your health is, and then you follow what your doctor suggests, you know. And some people come in with outside issues, you know, concurrent disorders and stuff like that. They really need help.
Yes.
And I'm not there. I don't take that kind of responsibility, and would never assume that kind of responsibility, and neither would my sponsor.
Right. So right. If they're psychiatrically ill, if they're medically ill, mm-hmm. if they're in serious mm-hmm. legal mm-hmm. situations,
absolutely,
or financial,
yeah.
Your role is to support them in yeah. following their yeah. the professional's advice.
That's right. And even if they have children, or they're trying to maybe get their children back, or something like that, they need to go to the people that can provide them with that information. There have been occasions and times when I have accompanied people, mm-hmm. you know, just for that support.
Sure.
If it's warranted. However, you know, I really kind of play each of those situations. You know, I just sort of observe first and see,
mm-hmm.
and if it's necessary. Because it's really important for all of us to learn how to stand on our own two feet as quickly as possible. And I believe, really, that that's what the 12 steps help us to do, mm-hmm. to get us to recognize where we are, and, you know, where we've kind of fell down in our, you know, in our lives, like where our lives have landed. I mean, even though I, you know, I had a very, very good job, and I had a, you know, a relationship with somebody and family, and everything kind of looked okay on the outside, there was a lot of stuff, like emotionally, that mm-hmm. I wasn't able to deal with, you know, that I needed a lot of help with. So I also went to my old family doctor and got referred to a good therapist mm-hmm. and somebody to help me with different things that were coming up for me. And my sponsor was actually able to identify that in the fifth step, in that helping me in that fifth step, helped me to identify some of that stuff. She said, well, I can help, the 12 steps can help you here, but here's where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by that, and I do exactly the same thing with the women that I sponsor today, too.
So helping them with structure, helping them mm-hmm. with education, helping them mm-hmm. with directions, and just as your sponsor inspired confidence, your own self-confidence mm-hmm. in you, mm-hmm. sounds like mm-hmm. that was and is your ongoing role.
Absolutely.
With your sponsee. But yep. it's clear that your role is in sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and your experience in how the 12 steps have helped you.
Yes.
And that's the scope of your responsibilities as a sponsor.
Absolutely, yeah. I understand what my role is, mm-hmm. and I don't deviate from it, because it's worked for me mm-hmm. with my sponsor, obviously worked for her with her sponsor, and obviously the women that she sponsored over the years. I get all the benefit of that. And don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if someone is attending a meeting, how might they find a sponsor at the meeting?
Okay, there at open meetings.
Yes.
What we do at our group is sometimes our members go around with little name tags on, and the chairperson for that evening will say, if you have any questions about sponsorship or the program, see one of our members. They usually have a name tag on, or a show of hands, or we stand up. So that's kind of one little. We may have a temporary sponsor program mm-hmm. in our group where several people have said, you know, if somebody needs help, we'll at least take them under our wing temporarily until they can find or help them find a mm-hmm. sponsor. That's one of the ways. The other thing is sometimes, this way I found mine was just listening and mm-hmm. saying, boy, I want what that person has. Like, I want to be able to have that sort of emotional sobriety. I didn't know that's what it was called back then, but that's what I felt from her. She was emotionally sober, like she had a very good. That's how you can. And then just be open. Like lots of times when you go into a meeting and you're a newcomer, especially if you go up and get a newcomer's chip or a 1 month chip or something like that. You know, we'll approach you. Like mm-hmm. somebody will approach you and say, "How you doing? Really good. Congratulations on picking up a desire chip." Or you got a 1 month chip. You know, group do you belong to? And make those kinds of conversations with them. Shake their hands and welcome them. Sometimes it's easier than you think. But anybody that actually asks me, I sometimes say to them, "You know what? It's like an interview process." I said, this is all about you. When you hear somebody that you like what they have, and they ask, you ask them, are they taking any sponsors? And they say, well, yeah. Then you ask them a few questions, you know? Do you have time? Like, how do you sponsor? Do you, like, what's your protocol? Mm-hmm. Like, do you, you know, like, somebody, I'll say to them, well, let's sit and talk about it. Because you might sit and talk to me for a while and then decide you don't want me.
You don't want to do that.
Well, I don't know. But it's true because we all have, and each person's individual.
Sure.
Like I have my way. It's the way I was sponsored, so I do it that way with my sponsor because it works for me. It works for me at work. And that's what I do, you know, and that's what, that's how I advise people. Just do a little bit of an interview process. You know, this is your recovery we're talking about. Because mm-hmm. sometimes people are out there and they really want to help so bad. They want to help so bad, so bad, so bad, you know. and then all of a sudden you realize they got six kids and they got a job and they may not. And if you're brand new, you need somebody who's got to have the time.
Have the
I mean,
time.
If you've been around for a while, that's one thing. But and you're looking for a new sponsor or something like that, that's one thing. But if you're brand new, you need somebody that can take that time with you.
Yeah. So getting a sponsor is not as hard as you think and certainly is very well worthwhile in terms of your long-term recovery. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Susan Blank, and we'll see you next week on Detailing Addiction. Thank you, Joni.
Thank you very much.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.